tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 30th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is a minister on this tape.
Good morning.
Sometimes
it's not sinful to be envious, and I am of Moses. He never wore glasses. You know? I've been saying, God, it's righteous envy.
Brother, have faith. 25 years ago after a head injury, I was wearing bifocals. And thank God I don't boast or brag only in Christ, but I can read the fine print, all the print.
Hallelujah! Glory! Amen. Yes. I receive it. Let it become life, Lord. Let it be life. Amen. Good morning. I'd like to continue with the subject, unless the Lord changes us in midstream, of the Holy Spirit anointing this morning. We shared about God moved in the subject of the anointing within. And now to this afternoon or morning, what morning? We'll deal with the subject of the anointing flowing out, okay? Before I do, truthfully, I've argued with the Lord, and I gave in. He won, as usual. This is not the Lord. This is me. But talking about youth camp leaders, more years than I can think of. Crystal would know how many years ago, I think. She was just a young teenager, or a young girl anyway. I called Brother Glenn from wherever we were living at the time, and I said, you know, the Lord is speaking to me about doing a youth camp at Lake Hamilton. I don't know if you remember that or not. When I get done, I know you'll remember. So Mom, who is filled with love, but we raised six boys, and now we got 17, or two girls and five boys. We got 17 grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. So she's kind of been through the battlefield, and she wasn't too happy with me when I said we're coming down to Hot Springs to do youth camp. She did the younger set, and we could spend the whole morning on that. But anyway, and I did the older ones. 4th of July came. I wanted to do something special for the kids. And so I said to Brother Glenn, I'd love to have a bonfire. Kind of remember now? And so he said, we'll build you one. I don't know how many young people we had, but there was a lot. And a demon-possessed man from up north followed us down here. By the way, he's set free now and walking in victory. He joined us at this youth bonfire. Well, as we went out there, we went to where we saw this huge pile of limbs and trees and all of that, and we thought, wow, it's going to be a good fire. So we set fire to it. That baby roared. we made a circle around it. We prayed for one another. We sang. And we just had a wonderful moving of the Lord. This demon-possessed man, the youth began ministering to him. I never said a word. Just the power of God moving through the youth. And we talked to him just before we came down here. Mom did, because he calls us a lot. And he was rehearsing what happened to him when they ministered to him down here. And he shared some other things, not important. But the fire didn't get out of control, but it certainly made an impression upon those that were observing, because the service got done here about 10, and as they left, there was this roar of a fire. long story short, we burned the wrong pile. We were supposed to burn the small pile instead. words were said about calling the fire department or something like that, and a few other choice things. And I went from your lift up here down to here and then came back up. But I'll tell you, if God would move on you to your youth camp, you will be blessed. I'm not going to say I wish, but God, that is, it's quite a ministry. You will be rewarded. Youth are honest, unless you are not honest to them. I mean, then they'll blow smoke at you and make you look like nothing, okay? But youth will speak their heart if you've got the courage to speak your heart to them. Youth will be honest and meet you where you're at if you're willing to meet them where they're at. Youth want honesty. Youth want truth. Youth want an example that they can see. You don't need fancy music and all of this, which is fun, but what you need to be is just honest. Honest, forthright. Live what you speak. Amen? So I pray I'm inspiring someone to come. God would knock another 30 years off, I'd say, man, here I am. I want to talk to you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and somewhere in Hebrews is a text I'd like to start with. Chapter 4, in verse 1. We're going to go on a journey of the Scriptures this morning. Now, Father, I set this before you because you've prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Your rod and your staff have comforted me. Father, it seems that you desire to share this banquet. And so we come. We're hungry. We're hungry for what you have for us, Lord. Oh, we're so hungry, Lord. We thirst, Lord. We thirst for you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Open up our souls. Say this with me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now, soul, I command you to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. I command my mind to focus on the mind of Christ. For I have the mind of Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I am free to choose life. I desire to dwell on life. I desire to be a testimony of life. Father, minister to my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be infused with that desire this morning. Glory. Glory to God. Verse 1. Let us therefore. I don't know if you know that or not, but Hebrews is God's vegetable book. You'll find a bunch of lettuce in there. You just look up lettuce all the way and find out how many there are, okay? And he didn't put green beans or spinach in there. Praise the Lord. Okay, let us therefore. Another thing is when God says therefore, that has a specific thing. He says, I'm going to bring forth a special thing that I want you to understand. Therefore, it will help you in your walk with me. The whole word does that. But when he emphasizes the word therefore, I mean, Paul didn't put it there just to put it there. He was impressed by the Spirit to emphasize. This is a key. Okay? Again, I'm not putting down the rest of the word. It's all the same, you know? Let us therefore, lest the promise being left of us, entering in, left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Here is an admonition, and I want to see if we all relate to this. God, I want to see your power move. I want to be a vessel whereby I'm not glorified, but where you are glorified. I have been created to be a glory of whom you are, Father. Okay? I have been created by God to be an expression of whom you are. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, we pray this to the Father. And I don't know if I'll be sharing again or not, but if I am, the intimacy with the Father is where we're going to go next. In order to express the glory of the Father, the image, the likeness, that which the Father is, we need to be intimate with Him. It's a one-on-one relationship. Expressing the glory is helped by fasting and praying and helped by the Word. But do you remember last time I said the anointing begins with intimacy? Intimacy with the Father. You cannot have pure anointing unless you're intimate with the Father. I'd like you to remember that, because we're living in an age of a lot of trumped-up, half-baked anointing, quite frankly. It's mixture anointing, really, is what it is. Okay? And the Lord says, some are coming short of it. Okay? And he says, here's my formula. First of all, he says, study my word. Study my word. I am amazed, and I don't believe it's anybody here, but maybe somebody living on the hearing on the tape would say, I can't study the word. I try. I fall asleep. A veil comes before me. I just don't get inspired by it. My mind runs here, there, and everywhere. That's a curse. That's a curse. Okay, I don't want to deal with curse this morning. I want to stay on the subject. But it's a curse. You recognize it. So at these meetings, when last night it was brought up about not being able to hear the word and so on and so forth, and Brother Doc and Brother Glenn and so forth, you go to them or you pay very close attention in the meeting. Lord, I want to be delivered from this darkness. Satan blinds us if he does us. All right. Puts a smoke screen there by ministering to our thoughts, to our mind, and so on. We don't want that. You may be set free from that. And I believe if you're sincere, you will be set free in an instant. In an instant, you'll be set free. It's not a powerful curse. It's a very weak curse. And I don't put that down as ignoring it. But it's one of those curses where the power of God is so strong in desire to see you set free. It's a key to being set free to the other curses. So it's one of those that I call God wants me to get set free from right now, and I love it. It happens. You understand what I mean? I don't want to minimize the other things. Okay, we go on now with I'd like it, and then faith. And it says in Hebrews 11:3-4, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, and it is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Okay? Let's just consider faith for a minute. We can move to Oklahoma or Kenneth Copeland's and get wonderful teaching on faith. But we can also do it on ourselves. Okay? And faith is simply this. It starts with having a desire to please God. Okay? That's all it is. God, I want to please you. I want to please you. And he says, well, you want to please me? I tell you what then. Learn to live by faith. See how easy it is? Yes. I want to please you, Lord. Huh? I want to please you, Lord. I challenge you to say it right now. Lord, I want to please you. Well, you just opened the door of excitement, all right? That's what you did. Because faith is an exciting life. Faith is not knowing tomorrow, not caring about tomorrow. It's just resting in today and being thankful for it. Hallelujah. That's faith. I mean, very simplified type thing. But you know, God gave you enough strength and faith for yesterday. Are you here today? Well, then you've got enough faith. Now, you don't have enough faith, you don't think, to go through today. No big deal. You didn't have it yesterday and you made it. So you build. That's faith by faith experiences. So today, I'm a challenge. I got a new faith experience life today. Huh? You need to start out your day with that. Oh, Lord, I'm walking by faith today. You made my body so it breathes by faith. I don't even know if I'm going to get out the next word or not. Thank you for faith, God. I'm in your hands. You're carrying. This is so simple, but it's so strong. You are mountains of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then there's tomorrow. Satan just loves to get me upset about tomorrow. Isn't that right? Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't have enough faith to handle tomorrow yet. So why worry about not having enough faith? I got enough faith for now. Hang loose. Enjoy it. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a swelling of faith. I don't get into telling stories, but for some reason they're ringing, and I'm more interested in the Word. I want to tell you a few testimonies along the way, not to bring any glory to Linda and I, but to encourage you to step forward in the anointing. All right. We lived for many years on the road, started in a rusty van that went through the car wash and the fender fell off. And it was in Tulsa where all those fancy cars are. We had been in the trucking business for many years and had churches and had a consulting business and a restoration house for people in trouble and on it went. Been very blessed. Been given the privilege for a season to give away 80-90% of what we had coming in. Boy, I love it. It's so much easier to give than to take, you know. But anyhow, as we went on this journey, we had to be in Nebraska in the evening of a certain day, and we were in Tulsa of that morning. We were penniless. Okay. We had developed a Christian relationship with the managers of the RV park where we were staying. And our only source of income, as far as we could see, was pennies from heaven or stay home. Well, we know God has never sent me pennies from heaven. He's never done it. And so the night before, there was a couple that had come for the night, and I used to love to testify to the people about Jesus, so I was down there telling about him. And then also, Mom was being used in wise counsel for the managers who were just having trouble with their marriage. I mean, having trouble. And she's the fixer-upper when it comes to that. She gets the anointing of fixing. And that morning, or that evening, the managers had had a doozy of a disagreement. And she was distraught, and I went up there to check for the mail because I thought, well, maybe the mail will bring us something in, because I knew we were supposed to be in Nebraska. And the mailman hadn't come yet, but he said to me, am I glad to see you? And he unloaded, and we just listened and didn't dare offer an opinion because she might have thrown the frying pan at us and, you know, and so on. And I didn't want to take sides. And so we met with them and counseled with them. And we came back to our van, and there was an envelope under our windshield wiper. We opened it up, and in there was a sum of money. And just a little scribbled note, thank you. It was from this couple down the night before that I had ministered to. We had just enough to get to Nebraska. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Now, why did I share that with you? It's because you need to learn to rest in God. All right? Hang loose. The results are not your responsibility. Okay, come on. Let's say that. Results aren't my responsibility. If I'm responsible for them and I make stuff happen, it's going to quit. It reaches a point where it can't live anymore because it's not life. It's got to. It's life. It depends upon how much life I gave it, not how much Christ gave it. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. So, resting in God, and I use this term not disrespectfully, is hanging loose. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Praise God, I'm in His care. All right. You drop down to the end. So, the Word of God, anyway. You confess the Word of God, and every now and then, the Word of God becomes a light bulb in your knower. Isn't that right? That's called faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The Word there is the light bulb. It's not the printed Word. It's the one that brings the light and tells you to go into action. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's just waiting to use His Word to be an expression through you. Hallelujah. Okay. You might want to think of it this way. He says that He is light. He's waiting to turn the switch in the midst of darkness that you would become light. Okay. Help me, Lord. So down in verse 11, He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter in to that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Laboring to enter into that rest means this. It's work. I gave you the ability to trust me. Every one of us were born with a measure of faith. Every one of us were born with the ability to receive the light of God. John chapter 1 verse something. Okay? Everyone was. You agree with me? So you and I have been born with enough faith to fulfill anything that God will set us to do. All right. Anything that God will set us to do. Okay. So let's say it. I can do it. If God inspires me to do it. So hang loose. Okay. It's just, I don't know. We're going someplace with this, guys. We're in a boat together. Okay. All right. But I want to build your faith. That's my prayer. To build your confidence in whom you are. Okay, fine. So rest means to, here in this portion, doesn't mean heaven. It means to cease from your own works. To cease from your own works. Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. All right. Say to your soul, I want you to receive this. I want you to desire to do it God's way. Emotions. I want you to respond according to God's way. Will. I want you to be stubborn so that you'll do it God's way. Desire. I want you to long, be thirsty for God's will in your life. Hallelujah. That's it. You're ministering to it now. Glory to God. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. Just one verse. Job, Psalm, Proverbs. Psalms, just take your Bible and let it fall open in the middle and you'll find Psalms. Proverbs is next and then Ecclesiastes, right? Or is it Song of Ecclesiastes? No, Song of Solomon. That's what I want. I apologize. Song of Solomon. No, I chose the wrong scripture. Oh, I'm in Ecclesiastes, guys. I need to study the Word more. Chapter 5. It should be chapter 4, verse 15. Thank you. A fountain of waters, of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Lebanon is a place of beauty and prosperity. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It is to bring the prosperity of God, the purpose of God, the beauty of God, and be an expression of the Father. Hallelujah. We have been called to be an expression of the Father's love. Glory to God. And then he says, awake, O north wind. Come from the south. Blow upon my garden. The wind of God stands for the decision making of God, the judgment of God. And so we're crying out, let the Spirit of God blow through me. Blow through me. Let me flow. Hallelujah. Okay. And he goes on to say that the spices, which stands for the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, not the gift, the fruit. The spices are the fruit. They're what smell good. All right. Okay. That the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. All right. Let me just share that little bit with you. Each one of us have been gifted with the gifts of the Spirit. All of them. When I say that now, this is what I mean. We have been gifted with enough faith, enough ability, whereby we can rest and know that someday I'm going to enjoy long suffering. It's there. All right. Yeah, and see it as a privilege. All right. Yeah. Okay. So I want you to see yourself as that. I am the gift of the Spirit to the world. Hallelujah! All right. I practice it amongst my friends in my fellowship in the body of Christ so that I am fine-tuned, but I use it. I use it as God allows me to in the world. Hallelujah! You're walking in the nature of Jesus in the world. Okay, now turn with me to John chapter 1 John. I'll try not to hop down so much again, but I'm laying a foundation. 1 John chapter... I'm just having fun with this. Chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Let me put it down into English today without bringing discredit to the King James Version. I've been smeared all over with oil. And I smell so good that I know it's real. That's about what it's saying there. Okay? And I'll prove it to you in a moment. But you and I, when we were received the Holy Spirit of God, we came to a place of hunger within our spirit. Oh, Lord, I want to be one with you. I want to be intimate with you. And he says, you know, I have got this beautiful bride's gown. It's called righteousness. I refer to linen. He says, white linen righteousness. And he says, you are now going to be my bride. And I am going to dress you. A lot of scriptures with this we're not going to go to. But we are being dressed. We are being smeared. We are being covered with the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we think of anointing as something physical, and it isn't. Anointing is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ living through us wherever we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, I'm not anointed, and I say, then you must have sin. You can't have one without the other. Love and marriage go together, so does anointing and sinlessness. All right? Okay, remember that. So if you're lacking in the anointing, there's something not right. Because we are all smeared. We're all covered with the perfume of God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, to them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. To the other we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? I just want to look at just a couple of principles here. First of all, he says you smell good. There is no perfume that can smell like the love of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing forth. Huh, isn't that right? So you might say to yourself, I have the finest perfume there is. We were privileged to have yesterday afternoon off. I was so thankful. We just don't get time off. And so we were walking downtown. We looked for a spring we couldn't find out in the mountains and things like that. But anyhow, she went into a shop down there. And I sat and watched people. I like to watch people. And she came out and she said, $100 and some for the thing that smells good in your bathroom. You know? I thought, oh, wow. We agreed. We weren't going there. But to those that can afford it, I say, thank you, Lord. You know, they deserve it. That's good. But anyhow, you can't pay a price in any way in the flesh for smelling good. It begins with your heart. The perfume is formed in your heart. It begins in the activity within your soul. God wants to take your soul, your mind, will, emotions, and desires. He gave them to us. He gave us the ability to cry. He gave us the ability to get angry. He gave us the ability to laugh. He gave us the ability to shout and scream. He gave us the ability to be very still. He gave us all of the abilities of what comes from our soul. You have a strong will? Were you called a strong-willed child? Rebuke it. You're gifted. Gifted. Parents just didn't know how to enhance the gift. God gifted you with a strong will of persistence for a purpose. Tenacity. Hallelujah. You know, I just throw this in for deliverance, but all of those labels that you've been given, ADD and DDA and all that other silly stuff, all right? Okay. Well, when they speak it on you, you become what that is if you're not careful, especially if they're in authority. But no, God gifted you with what you have. The enemy is coming against it because he doesn't want it to flow. Hallelujah. None of your children would ever be a brat. They aren't. They just have a characteristic that God wants to use in their life. And he said as parents, well, I'm getting on this, but he said as parents, I want you to cultivate it within them, not criticize them for it. Hallelujah. Okay. You are gifted by God. And he wants to use the gifting of God, his gifting, for a purpose. And if he wants to use it for a purpose, he wants stuff to happen. So he will take whatever that is that he needs to use, and he will touch it with an anointing. All right. An anointing and Christ are the same words. Bringing forth the life of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, did I do Corinthians? Okay. And I did that for this reason. You want to smell good. Mom and I, again, when I use ourselves, I don't boast in this, okay? Please don't take it that way. But there's a couple events of the year that we really enjoy doing together, and one is we go to the Wisconsin State Fair for one day. And people will come up to us out of the blue and talk to us all the time. And we'll look at each other and say, do I smell funny? Do I look funny? And so on. No. They sense the love of the Father. You can measure how good you smell by the number of people you attract. I mean that sincerely. Yes, hallelujah. Praise be to God. So sometimes we get tired and we grumble and we say, I hate this. Well, I've been through it one time, you know. And I can't stand this phone. It rings all the time. No, we're thankful. We're thankful. Yes, I will. I was, one day we were fishing out in the middle of the river, and I had floored the boat down in sandbars and brought the boat up on top of a sandbar, out of water completely. And Prior to that, we were counseling with a lady, and I said to her, well, now, if you're in trouble, you give me a call. Here's my cell phone number, mistake number one. And I am in the middle of hearing pleasantries from Mom because I drove the wrong way. And she was right, you know, and trying to figure out how I'm going to get this big boat totally out of the water, out of the sandbar. And guess what happened? Brother Rod, Brother Rod, I just had a temper tantrum. Will you pray for me? Hallelujah. Sometimes when you smell good, you wish you didn't. Very fine, Lord. Won't look at it, but you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, and I'll tell you this on the way as you're going there. In John chapter 7, 37 and 38, it says what? Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. If Tommy Cook were here, he'd say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He never could say it right. But out of my belly should flow life. What does he mean by belly? He means your soul. Out of your soul should flow life. All right? We have been called by God to speak life. Proverbs 20-something says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love, that eat thereof. Very loose translation right now. But in other words, you speak what you love. If you love death, you speak death. If you love life, you speak life. We carry within us life, guys. God is looking for us to express His life. Do you know why? Because He has decided that words spoken create. What did Jesus do? He created this world by speaking it into existence. Then He gave us the ability to speak. When our piano players were playing this morning, they were singing. There was a song where she was into the bass, the rumbling of the bass. And what she was doing was prophesying a shaking of the earth, a shaking in this place where anything that needs to be shaken would be shaken. And she was playing over there in the uppercase of keys, and it was the raindrop anointing was falling. I wanted to get up and say it so bad, but I didn't want to interrupt them, and so on. But you see, God was prophesying. He uses the sound waves, which is a whole other message. But God is saying, I want you to prophesy life in all that you do. That's why He says that covet prophecy above all as a gift, and make sure they're bathed with love. Hallelujah. I'm a vessel of life. I'm a vessel of anointed life. Glory to God. Okay, now turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. You should be there already, I guess. And I want to share with you with the prayer that this will help us. Beginning with me, because I'm selfish. I want help first. Hope you don't mind. About walking into the birthing of the anointing. We find it throughout the Old Testament. But this is a process, part of the process of the birthing. Okay? And I steered you once again to the wrong scripture. Can you believe that? No? Here it is. It's Exodus chapter 30. This may not be a very good tape message. But those of you listening, I ask you to understand that something is going to happen. Hallelujah. In verse 22, and moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou unto thee principal spices. Okay? God sees you as a mixture of principal spices. Principal means the best. He is saying to you and I, look guys, I have made you the best that can be. Nobody can improve on you. You can't improve on yourself. Those that think they can fix you and improve on you are wrong. I am the one that made you perfect. I see you as perfect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As I said last time, God gave you your personality. He gave you your nose. He gave you your feet, the tone of your voice, the way you express it, etc. God made all of that. We couldn't choose it. He says, you are the best. Build yourself up. I'm the best. Hallelujah. Say it. I'm the best. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm the best. If it's hard to do, you've got something that's struggling. It's called Satan and curses. All right? And you want to get rid of them. That's what it is. I'll get you ready for this afternoon deliverance, okay? Okay, I am created by God to be the best. And He says, here's how it's going to come out. Because when He made the anointing, He put it in a container, and he stirred it around. He mixed it up. He crushed it until it became what he wanted it to be. Remember that. So the anointing comes through the experiences of life learning. And the experiences of life expose us to a place where we make a choice. Do I want to accept death out of this experience? Or do I want to accept life out of this experience? We've got the choice. If you accept death, you're going to live in death. If you accept life and see every opportunity in life as an experience to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what it is, you are going to go forward and grow in the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Every experience in life, God will take and bring good from it. Okay. Now, he says, the first thing I want you to take is myrrh. Myrrh stands for bitterness and tribulation and trials. Oh, Lord, how come I'm going through this? He says, because there's sin there. And I want to show you that I'm God. So he says, you're going to go through those things. You want to choose and crumble under it, or do you want to see that I'm bringing life for it? All of these things are separate topics, but I want to be the overall picture in this. The next one is this calamus, and that means a purchased greed. I want you to realize that I redeemed you. So we're going to go through experiences where we feel like maybe we're not saved anymore. Do you ever feel that way? Huh? You know? Let's face it, it's down in there. And God says, I don't want you to feel that way anymore. I don't want you to give in to those thoughts anymore. So when you're in these trials where you feel that way, I'm going to anoint you with scripture that will become life to your soul, where you'll realize that you are set free, that you're free in Him. Depression goes and many, many other things go. Excuse me. And the things that go are why there's deliverance, why there's a camp like this. God is ministering to you that you might get set free so that His character, His anointing, will come forth. Hallelujah. And He wants to come forth through you. So He wants you in the physical to be an expression of whom He is. And He says, I've created you, and you were born blessed. When I created Adam and Eve, I put a blessing on them. Do you realize that you're hopelessly blessed? Hopefully, no, that's a bad term. You're impossible to not be blessed. You were born blessed. You were born blessed. God created you to be a blessing, to smell good, to shine in the midst of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The next one is cinnamon, and it means to be erect and upright by having the bark pulled away. God wants you to be naked before Himself, before yourself, and before the world. Now, I'm not speaking in a sexual context. I am speaking in a spiritual, I am Jesus Christ. I am a creation of His. I am a wonderful creation of His. But when you see me, see Jesus Christ. I want you to be tall and erect. So God, when you go through things whereby you think you're the tail and not the head. You probably don't go through that. I do, but where you think that way. God is saying, come on. I am going to bring you on the other side of this. You're going to be tall and erect. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think just in particular, and there must be a reason for it, of people in financial dilemma. You have done everything that you can in your natural to come out of a financial dilemma. You're bent over in the midst of the Lord, yourself, and the world, you think. Okay. You're never bent over in front of God. Okay. But you're, whatever is in your life, shame, something that comes along, you're bent over. You're under the heavy weight of what's wrong in your life. God says, I'm going to take away yourself. I'm going to allow you to go into the depths of your battle, whereby you're going to realize that you cannot do anything about it. Hallelujah. For my strength cannot become perfect until you're weak. Glory to God. And that's where the anointing will begin to come now. Because when you're at your weakest point, God touches you with the awareness of the anointing. He'll rescue you. Hallelujah. And He sees me through the blood of victory, and I see myself this way, and I'm filled with shame. And the world sees me, ha, 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 you say you're a Christian, yeah. Come on, isn't that right? Isn't that right? And God is up there, and he's saying, now is time for my anointing to fall upon you. Hallelujah. There is a brand of churches that I was told I would never preach in because I was divorced. It makes me sad, but it happened. And it was BC, but it still brings a lot of pain. Okay? And they said to me, I know that you carry the ministry qualifications, etc., but no. The only way you'll ever preach in one of our churches is if you come in through the basement as a janitor and clean toilets and things like that. And the man that told us just loved God, and he cried and he said it. Mom and I went, and we battled from there. We battled with all these emotions that you get, of anger and frustration and worthlessness and what are we going to do with life and all of that. We were truly bent over. And the world was looking at us as a failure. Well, let me tell you, the anointing makes way for the gift. And the gift will go where it's needed when you're under the hand of God. And guess what? We have preached in more of those churches, not than any of them, but in many, many of them. All right? God just makes way. Okay. So I want you to remember that, please. Then there's the cassia, which means shriveled and rolled up or to bow down. It stands for humility. The anointing will not flow if you think you're somebody other than somebody in Christ. Hallelujah. You are not important in the flesh. You are important in the flesh only to be a vessel of the life of God that flows through. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So we need to come to that place. And pride cometh before a fall. Every time you start to think you're pretty good, look out. Time to crash. Okay? So you rebuke it right away. Okay, then the other one is the oil. Olive. I'm sorry, the olive. They mix that. That's makes you prominent and illuminated like a flower. Okay. As you go through this, you're going to be recognized. I don't know of anybody, at least everyone, who have gone through a trial where they've tried to hide it, but it's not been seen. Somehow, God will let your trial come forward when you don't want anybody to see it. You know why you don't? Pride and shame. And God is saying, but I gave you the body of Christ that you might be exposed so they can help you become what you are. Hallelujah. They feed the anointing to become active in your life. We need one another. Hallelujah. Don't you see how we could spend the whole morning on each one of these? Huh? I give you food for thought, okay. Then the last one that we'll look at, because it's the last one, is the oil. And I love this one because it means to be fat. All right, guys. No Atkins diet there. I don't have to eat all those herbs. What it means is to shine forth, to be filled. And that is the result of all of this that you go through. I'm going to shine forth. I'm going to shine forth. I walked under the curse of a loser. I was born under the curse of a loser. Every job I take, I would excel. I would be great at. When we went into business, it would prosper. I would carry this blessing of prosperity, but I would always end up in a position where I would be told I was a loser. A man that we were used by God to make a millionaire called me in the office one day and he says, you're a loser. You might as well learn to live with it. The man whose ministry I got saved under called me and my wife bailed me out of jail on some false charges they had against me. And I went into him. I was shattered, broken, just saved. And he says, you know, Rod, some people are born to be losers and you're one of them. That was my pastor. I love that man, dude. He's home with the Lord. A wonderful man of God. But what was happening wasn't his fault. I was carrying spirit that said I was a loser. And so wherever I would go, if people couldn't discern what my spirits were, they would respond to them by agreeing with them. All right? So we need to get set free, not from people that accuse us, but from why we have an open gate that they can accuse us. We need to see, and that's why the anointing. You can't stand in the midst of evil if you carry evil. All right? So that's why you're an overcomer. It gives you an opportunity to overcome. Rejoice. I cannot be an overcomer unless I've got something to overcome. And what I have to overcome is something of having to do with sin. Whether it's in other people or what, doesn't matter. I have to overcome it. Okay? So glory to God. He wants us to shine. He wants us to be used as a vessel to destroy evil. It gets gooder as we go, guys. Hallelujah. This is a different meeting than the first one. Thank you, Lord. Turn us into Genesis. Chapter beginning. Garden of Eden. Refresh your memory. The Apostle Paul says, I know a man, whether in a body or not, he was caught up under the third heaven called paradise. Okay? This person was in the body, but his soul, his thinking was taken out of the body. He had a realm that he entered into called the third heaven. Okay? Called paradise, which is also called the Garden of Eden. Okay? Our goal is to walk back in to the understanding of the freedom of the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. It's where you hear things that are not lawful to be uttered. And what that means is where you have an intimacy with your Heavenly Father, whereby He ministers to you right where you're at, where you live in this state of perfect peace that passes understanding, of perfect anointing. Hallelujah. And again, I stress, as I did last time, surrounded by Satan, like Adam and Eve were, but not us. That's where we're going. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, let's look at the Garden of Eden for a second. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. The only thing we look at from there for today is eastward. East is where the sons of God live. Hallelujah. Remember that. When the Bible talks about eastward, it's talking about where you and I live. Glory to God. Okay. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and, now here we go, and verse 10, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. We know that symbolically the river stands for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Okay? So be thinking spiritually for a minute now. Okay, so it was watering the garden. And from thence it was parted and it came into four heads. Four heads stands for north, south, east, and west, the fullness of authority. So the fullness of authority was flowing. The Holy Spirit, in this case, was flowing to the fullest of His authority. Oh, I can't wait for that day. The anointing was there. The relationship with the Father was there in such a way that nothing but the Holy Spirit of life could flow. No evil could touch it. That's where we're headed, guys. That's where we're headed, guys. The evil is there. We have the sinful nature there, but we have conquered it by our awareness that Jesus set us free from it. And we learn that we've been set free by going through things that tell us we haven't been set free. And we recognize simplicity here, that it is a lie that I've not been set free. And I can be set free because I am set free. Hallelujah. Such simple words. Glory. Come on, let's say it. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. The name of the first is Python. I don't know if I pronounce it right or not, but it doesn't matter. And here's what it means, increase in growth. You see, the Garden of Eden is a picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is on earth. It is the will of God which is done in heaven. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is the action of God. Heaven is the dwelling place of God's righteousness. I appreciated the Streets of Gold comments the other day. If you're planning on scrubbing the streets of gold, forget it. Okay? It stands for the path of righteousness. All right. Hallelujah. The New Jerusalem is not a physical place. It is a spiritual dwelling place. It's the definition of the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. So, here's what God says. I don't know if you're back on the subject. Get us in trouble. Okay. He says, I have chosen you to be increased. To be increased. So when you wake up in the morning and whatever comes against you, the enemy or thoughts or whatever it might be, you start saying, God, I'm a God of the increase. Or I'm a person of the increase of God. I'm sorry. He says He's a God of the increase. God will never send you backwards. God will never let you stand still. Those are choices you and I make. Remember that. Going back is a choice we make. Standing still is a choice we make. When He told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, that meant, get up, get ready, get dressed, we're going to move on. That's really what it meant. Hallelujah. No, God says, I have chosen you to go forward in your life. To go forward. Every opportunity, this meeting is an opportunity from God for you and I to go forward in life. Hallelujah. To increase in our knowledge of whom He is. All that we have and do, we need to understand that God will allow us
to come into places that we choose, and He's going to take whatever happens in that place and bring good out of it again. This is a principle that you must understand. Oh, it's so much fun to go and spend a couple hours by a tree. You think I'm loony? No. Because it's an opportunity. Well, no, I'm not. I won't confess that either. All right. But it's an opportunity to learn about God's creation. I challenge you to focus on anything that is life, not man-made. Focus on anything that is life. I received an assignment from God to travel the border of the state of Wisconsin. And it meant driving gravel roads. It meant driving... I didn't think there were places like that. And He said, all I want you to do is to bring forth the covering of the kingdom of God over the state. Who, me, God? You know, it was a very humiliating thing to be asked to do because I wasn't worthy, I felt. And as I drove along, I every now and then would look at a Pepsi-Cola sign or a McDonald hamburger sign. I had something about them. They must have beans. They draw you to them, you know. And I would lose the awareness of the presence of God. And I had 3 days to do this journey. And finally, after a few hundred miles, decided the only way I'm going to do this is to pray in tongues. So for 3 days, I did nothing but pray in the Spirit as I was driving. And during that time, I became aware of His presence in anything that had life. Because He told me I could look at anything that was created. I challenge you to take an hour or two. Go into the middle of some place where there's nothing but life. A wood, a lake. Go sit on a lake. Any place where you can be alone with the Lord and learn to communicate, not with nature, but communicate with the Father on the beauty of His creation. Hallelujah. Then we won't get tempted to do all this other junk that's thrown at us all the time. We've got too much good to enjoy. Okay, where am I, Lord? So anyhow, I've been created by God to go forward. Okay? Then the next name of the river, what is it here, Lord? Help me. Is it Lishon? And then what was the next one? Go ahead. Havilah. Okay, Havilah. Wait a minute now. The name of the first is Lishon, that which is compasseth the whole of the land. Okay, verse 13. Okay? Name of the second is Gihon or Gihon. However you want to say that, it means to break forth and flow. You see, the anointing of Christ in you is waiting to go forth. The anointing is waiting to go forth. Hallelujah. The only thing that's stopping it from going forth is you're refusing to believe who you are. We don't realize who we are in Christ. All right? That's the only thing that's stopping the power of God. He says, I'm here, I'm going to turn, if I can use it this way, I want to turn the switch on so you can bring light into dark, but you won't let me at the switch because you don't believe that you got it. Okay, so you need to develop a relationship of knowing whom you are in Christ and yourself. Do you know yourself? It takes time, it takes courage to be naked before yourself. You need to know your inner workings. You need to know your shortcomings. You need to know those things which God has blessed you with that go forth. They hinder the anointing if you don't know them. Okay? Because the enemy will use fear and doubt and other enemies, other spirits, to cause it not to flow. Okay? Hang loose and enjoy what God gave you for creation. Hang loose and enjoy the faith He's given you to use it. Hang loose with the fact that, Chuck, if He sends me to do it, it's going to happen. Relax. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will never order it done if He doesn't make a way to have it done. That's it. And if He didn't order it done so it doesn't happen, you'll say, well, thanks, God. You stopped me from doing something I shouldn't have done. Come on. Please. Okay. The anointing. I can see I'm not going to finish it today, but that's all right. Lord, guide us. Break forth. What's the next one here? Verse 13, verse 14. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. Hiddekel means pleasantness. You have been chosen by God to be a blessing. A blessing. This has come up twice, so I want you to look as long as we're close to Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Three things that you are in the eyes of God. First of all, he says, you're a blessing. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Well, how can I be a blessing if I see myself as not a blessing? All right. So you minister to your mind. You minister to your soul. I am a blessing. You take scriptures and you write them down. I encourage you, rather than just to memorize them, you take time. Don't type them on the computer, but write them down. Let them soak into you. I'm a blessing. So get into the Word and get the scriptures, okay, that minister to your soul of how wonderful you are. Hallelujah.
Rejection goes. Rejection goes when you develop an intimacy with the Father whereby you realize how beautiful you are. Hallelujah. I'm going to get into a quick deliverance thing here, if I know where I want to, where I'm led to. Men, I have learned this, a very hard, hard lesson. Many men carry a father in it. Many women have never been fathered properly. That's hard to remember. Therefore, they have a desire for a father to love them in some way. Many men have never been fathered properly. As a result, they carry a desire to learn how to father and to be father. So when the spirits from someone that needs a father come together with someone that wants to be a father, soul ties develop. And they are not godly. They are not godly. No man has ever been chosen by God to be a natural father, carrying the gifting, authority, and power to do what a natural father should do, even so that someone else can substitute for them. Now, in the case of adoption, God does a wonderful, if the father's image is right, God does a wonderful thing. A miracle to bring an adopted child under that covenant and accept it. But when you counsel, when you look to a man who's not your man, so to speak, and you look to a woman and you are filled with great compassion, you watch that as a warning sign. That's a warning sign. Because God set up a system whereby the women counsel the women, the men counsel the men. So the father image that thinks he needs to be a father is looking to women to satisfy that need when he should be looking to a man who has the ability to father you. Remember that, please. Ladies, it's not that you lack fatherhood. It's that you lack understanding. And you'll get wrong spirits if you don't look to a woman. Please remember that. For some reason, it had to be shared this morning. Okay, let's go on. The next river, the Euphrates. Oh, I love this one. Did I do Dion? Yeah. Okay, the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates means fruitfulness. God created you to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Look at me, Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree. So let's say that. I'm like a tree. Planted by the rivers of water. Where does your root system go? Goes to bitter water or to Holy Spirit water? There's one of two places, all right? We go to fresh water, to Holy Spirit water. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Each one of us have been chosen by God to live in a season. We talked about that before. We've been chosen to live in this season of life. We have been chosen by God to bring forth the fruit that would flow from me. The fruit of love that flows from you is the same love, but it flows differently because she wouldn't relate to me if I gave it. You did. So each one of us carry the fruit of the Spirit with our unique personalities, with our unique voices, with the unique way of expressing it. See how important you and I are. We're not created to do it like the other ones. We're created to take what God has given us as a common denominator, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and to express it through our own vessels. Hallelujah. Say, I'm important. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Okay. And he says, and what's
He says, you bring forth your fruit and your seed, and your leaf will not wither. In other words, the testimony of life. Leaf is where the life comes from. It draws from the sun, S-O-N, it flows through you, and brings forth life. The leaves. We love to go into places where there's a lot of trees. You can breathe so much easier. They give off life. Isn't that life? You've been called. You smell good. You must be a sweet-smelling tree. That's what it is. Huh? Amen. Okay? And he says, whatsoever you do, he says, your leaf won't fall, wither. And whatsoever you do will prosper. Whatsoever you do will prosper. So you need to look to your life. What part of my life is not prospering? Oh, that's where you curse that. I was created to prosper in that area. It's not happening. It is noon. I have one more thing I've got to take you to, and I'll be short on it. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. As we do this, I feel like to share this, so I'll be obedient. There are different flowings of the anointing. I have never been used the same way twice. You learn to relax and say, God, however you choose to use me today. Some days he will give you a voice that you think is going to blast the windows out. Some days he'll speak to you so quiet that you're meek as a lamb. Some days you'll be filled with evangelistic exuberance, and some days you'll wonder if you're going to breathe. But whatever it is, don't sweat it. Because you see, God wants to use you as you are in that particular where you're at so that I can bring forth life. So we never should expect going home from a meeting today and saying, boy, I can't wait to get back so we can have one like that. Forget it. It don't happen. You can make things happen, but that's false anointing. You don't want to do that. So you just relax, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening again this morning. Just relax and let Jesus work through you. Okay, I want to look just one last thing in Genesis 22. Did I tell you that? Genesis 21, verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spoke unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that you do. Okay, so let's say it together. God's with me in all that I can do. Hallelujah. Now, who told them that? Did his fellow Christians or did a sinner? A sinner. Come on, they were first called Christians, not by Christians, but by the world. All right. So, you want to test yourself. God, do other people identify me not as who I am or what I can do, but how good I smell? Hallelujah. There goes rejection. Hallelujah. Rejection says you can't do this. Everything you do is dumb and stupid. And amongst other things, you're unlovable and all of this. Yucks, you know, that type of thing. No sweat. No, the enemy can say what he wants. I am a living testimony that God is with me. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Now therefore, swear unto me. Okay, I won't do that. I'll go down again. Verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. What happened was, this is one of Abraham's waters, wells of water. And the world, we'll say, came and used it. They tried to borrow on the anointing. They weren't experiencing the relationship of God to carry the anointing. You see, that's how false moves of God go forth. You see something happening here, so you go to that church so you can carry it back to your church. That is a lie from the enemy. It is a lie from the enemy. God chooses particular places to use his anointing. Now, you may carry an anointing by sitting under the covering, and you may be blessed, but you'll never carry the anointing evidence that they have. If you do, you have entered into a witchcraft agreement. All right. I don't dare share some of them, but you just be careful of these so-called moves. Let's go on. Ooh, the devil got mad at that one. Okay. And so, Abraham reproved him. That means corrected him. The anointing corrects that which is wrong. So when you carry the anointing, when it's birthed in the love of God and your speech is seasoned with salt, you can tell people they're a nerd. You wouldn't, but I just mean you can tell them the truth. You can say, that is wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. Okay. It's nothing to be afraid of. You see, fear doesn't want the anointing to go forth because it knows it will destroy. If you want to destroy. Okay? Let's go on. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, These 7 ewe lambs shall you take from my hand, that they may be a witness that I have digged this well. Let's bring it into something that applies to the anointing. Okay. The 7 ewe lambs stand for the fullness of the Holy Spirit going forth. Hallelujah. And Abraham's total desire here was to show that the power of God and God's way was all that was necessary. Glory to God. And he wanted to demonstrate to Abimelech that God was with him and all that he did would prosper. Abimelech said it would be sure. So he was saying, this is how the fullness of the Spirit is operating in me. Glory to God. So he made a covenant with him. What does this mean to you and I? I do nothing. Christ does everything through me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Christ means the anointed one. I can do anything that I'm anointed to do. God will surge within me with enough faith that I'll step forward to accomplish what I'm sent for. Do what I'm just about done. You say amen. And Abimelech, verse 30, 31. Yeah. And wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because that was where, because there was where they both of them swear an oath. It's called the Well of 7. Okay? And they made a covenant at Beersheba. And turn down to verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Never did get to the other world. Can't apologize for it, but wish we could. But here's what the deal is. When you show forth that Jesus Christ will take care of it for you, you are demonstrating the everlasting power of God. Why is that important? I mean, it sounds great, everlasting power, but what does that really mean? It means that it will never cease to go forward and bring life. You have just taken away a piece of land from the enemy and established the kingdom of God in that piece of land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is, when you bring forth life, it is life without end. Isn't that right? The life of God cannot die. There is no death in it. It is perfect. It is perfection. So the anointing goes forth and establishes an everlasting peace of the kingdom of God. And the whole church, from Acts 2:4 on until the second coming of Jesus Christ, has been given pieces of land on this earth, literal, whereby the enemy is trying to control it through wars, rumors of wars, unjust rulership and leadership, sinful activities of all kinds. Now, well-meaning Christians just love to picket and just love to attack in the natural. God says, okay, go ahead. Do they ever win? This is what brings life. The anointing. And the anointing comes through relationship of love for the Father. And when you come against something then, you develop a hatred for the sin. You develop a hatred for the evil. That's good. That's good hate. That's good hate. Come on. Hate is an emotion given to us by God, perverted by Satan. But it is good to hate evil. God hates evil. And so, when you carry that hatred to a point where I just got to do something about it, that's the anointing starting to boil. Hallelujah! And that's the time that you step forth. And you don't do what you want to do. You say, God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? The word of knowledge, words of discernment, gifts, all of this stuff will just flow. Will just flow. In Jesus' name. I give you this tool. I entered this expecting something totally different. I ask my Father to speak life into you. And I would like to close again with the piano. I could see. Do we have this thing too? Because it's late. I'm going to ask God to shake the ground again. Give me some strong major key bass. Major key rumbling. Would you add the key that she's in? Give me uppercase. I want you to ask this. Lord, make me in tune. Make me in tune to the reigning of your Holy Spirit in this place. In this place, Lord. Set your thoughts not on hunger, not on time, but on letting the anointing flow. Father, let the thunder
Let the thunder roar in our souls this morning, O God. Let there be a turmoil of stirring, the whirlwind of God within my soul.
Father, I'm asking for you to expose the weeds which we'll call curses, or curses that will cause weeds in this garden of myself. Let your Spirit rain on me, that I might be convicted, that I might be courageous to look at the weeds. Weeds of discouragement. Weeds that say, I'm inferior, I cannot. Weeds of rejection that say, nobody will listen to me anyway. Weeds that say, not me, God, I'll fail. Lord, expose weeds. Expose weeds. No witchcraft, no psychic powers here, Lord. Just your sweet vibrations in the air with tones in the enemy of the territory, of territory of the enemy. Lord, Lord, set me free. Are we in a major key? Are we in a major key? It's important. Lord, Lord, set me free. Sing it to the Lord, Lord, Lord. Set me free. I want intimacy with you, Lord. I confess to you, O Lord, if I draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto me. Expose to me, Lord, that which is not pure, that I might be a vessel of pure anointing. A bruised reed shall not be broken. The wind causes a bruised reed to stand up tall. The wind is the judgment of God, which is good. It's the righteous decision of God. He is speaking to bruised areas in your soul, going to the place where you can say, I forgive. Speak to your soul and say, soul, I command you to forgive the source of my bruise, which is no longer mine, but I've given to Jesus Christ. Apply your healing balm of Gilead to the bruised area. Pour over the oil of healing. Scrub it clean with the blood. Remove any effects, so there can be no desire to go back to that place. And now, Father, thank you for watering me. For watering me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring it forth with crescendo. Oh, yes. Come on. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Bring forth. Bring forth. Oh, yes. The oil of anointing from above. Glory. Glory. Let it sweep. Yes, that's right. There you go. She's establishing footing now. Let's stand up. Yes, just continue to flow. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, she's anointed. She's anointed. And God is using that to minister to our souls. We're standing now. We're standing on this freedom. Hallelujah. Do you believe you're standing on freedom this morning? You tell Him. You tell Him. It's a faith thing that will be activated. Glory to God. I am free in the anointing. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, some skipping in the garden music. Hallelujah. Get light with those fingers now. Hallelujah. Dance in the garden. Dance in your garden. Let your soul dance in the garden this morning. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Watering it. Hallelujah. He's watering it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Then sings my spirit. Then sings my soul. My soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty God. How great you are, Lord. Reign on us, O Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. For I've surrendered all. Yes, I've surrendered all to Jesus. I surrender all. Oh, we need to do it again. Oh, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all to Jesus, blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Three times is resurrection, so one more.
I surrender.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.